This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
All right. Thank you, Dale. And today we are talking about the end times. We are on a go here. This is the end time week. And we are looking at the end times in the war room. Why is it important? We need to let our people in the church know, you know, the end times is here. We should notch up our activity for the Lord a little bit more. Get the gospel out a little bit stronger. And catch as many people as possible, you know, for eternity. Because once we are gone, it's going to be very tough, you know, and people have to face a very tough reality. Okay, so the signs are there. There are loads and loads of signs. We were looking before, in the weeks before, or in the days before, about the historical context. And in history, every generation thought, you know, Jesus is about to come back. Jesus is about to come back. And let me just go to the Second World War. A lot of Christians, is interesting, there were two when Hitler came to power in Germany, and I know this from some of the old guys who were around. There were two sort of extreme scenarios, yeah? Two extreme scenarios. There were, and that is one of the stories I heard, there were Pentecostal ministers, yeah? And again, I know I'm here on BPN Radio, and a lot of people have got a Pentecostal or charismatic background, and very often, you know, people, there's a little bit of arrogance sometimes, and let this be a little bit of a gentle rebuke. Don't never ever be arrogant. Never ever write anybody off who loves the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior just because they're in another denomination. Maybe they're a Baptist or Methodist or a Mennonite or anything like that. Never write anybody off in their walk with Christ because you think you've got the gifts of the Spirit and you operate in them and they are not. And very often you will see that I always say not everything that is shiny is gold. You know, sometimes it's brass or it's something else. It's just a little bit of iron or copper or whatever. And we need to bear this in mind. Okay, we need to bear this in mind. So never ever be arrogant. Okay, and here's the reason why. There's some Pentecostal ministers in the Nazi days, and they were so intrigued by Adolf Hitler. In the 30s, you know, what a wonderful guy it was, and that he was getting Germany back on its legs, and, you know, everybody had work, and there was some prosperity, and people were actually going on holidays, which has been unheard for. You know, the working people, they were just working. They were fodder for the factories, but then they didn't go on holidays. They didn't buy their own cars, and Hitler made it all possible. So you had, like, Pentecostal ministers who were writing poems about the hands of the Führer. This is what's happening and what was happening in Germany. And these are the stories I heard from some of the old guys. Scary, really, really scary. I wonder when the Antichrist, you know, reveals himself and when he comes and or, you know, one of the many Antichrists, how many of our Christian leaders will write poems or endorse a wicked person who has got no heart for Christ, who doesn't know God. And yet they endorse these people in front of their church and in everybody else. And that is what was happening in the 1930s Germany. And again, you have to bear in mind, you know, there was a golden age in the 30s where life was actually really good in Germany. And they, you know, gave all the credit to this man, not knowing what he would do that, you know. That by the time he was finished, even though they had a short reprieve of about 7-8 years where but Germany was actually quite prosperous, and that he would bring Germany to a point where it was less than what it's ever been before for a short period of time. Interestingly, I know after the war, just to elaborate a little bit on this, there was a spirit of repentance in Germany. People realized what had happened and realized the murderous regime of what they were doing. And they realized all the suffering that people had inflicted on the nation throughout Europe. And within the German psyche, there was a spirit of repentance, and it resulted in people going to church, people being contrite. And I was born still at the back end of this period where people were not proud to be German. They were actually quite the opposite. They were quite humble. And I believe that, especially in West Germany, East Germany, they said, oh, this has got nothing to do with us. We are communists, you know, we are different, you know, we are the good Germans, because we are anti-fascist, we are not Nazis, we are communists, but we hate God, we don't want anything to do with God. In West Germany, there was a different spirit. People actually did return to their churches. People did go back to church. I remember when I was growing up on a Sunday morning that pretty much everybody I knew was going to church. There was only very few people I knew were not going to church on a Sunday morning, kids as well. And that all changed within about a period of 10 to 20 years, finished. Yeah. There's hardly anybody going to church today. I'm talking about the nominal churches, representing nominal Christianity. But even though people may not have been born again, they had a respect for God. And I believe that the success of West Germany and the prosperity Germany achieved after the war was down to this spirit of contrition, to this spirit of humbleness, of apology, this mindset of we have done wrong, and this spirit of repentance, and we don't want to do this again. You know, we want to be good now. And I believe that this is that God blessed West Germany, and there's been a period of unrivaled an unrivaled rising of the nation, unrivaled prosperity. That I sort of remember, sort of when I went in the 80s, the first time I went to England, and I compared both countries, that one country really came up and the other country was sort of well behind, even though, you know, in the 40s, obviously, England did win the war, Britain did win the war. Okay, that's just sort of on a side note, what is going on. So we have got a period where people thought that the Antichrist was there, Christians. Okay, we've got one part of Christians, they thought, you know, Hitler was the Messiah, not the Messiah, but he was, you know, sent by God, and he was good, he was a good guy. And then we've got another part to actually realize that he could possibly be the Antichrist, because some of the, especially people who knew the Bible, some of the rhetoric he used was actually quite bad. Yeah. And it sounded very much like the Antichrist. So he was very spiritual. He was talking about the millennial reign, and that he was going to, you know, start it, that Germany would reach this golden age, and, you know, for the next 1,000 years. They realized it's not a good idea, you know, to kill all the Jews and to be anti-Semitic, because the Bible, you know, says if you do anything against the seed of Abraham, you pretty much touch the apple of your eye. So whatever you do to them falls directly back on you. It's a curse you pronounce on yourself. And evangelical Christians knew this. And it's interesting as well, when I talked to some of the guys, even though they could sort of see some of the issues and the problems which were there at the time, they could also see very, very clearly that what the government was doing was very, very wrong, and ultimately it would lead to their destruction. It's quite interesting as well. Germany was, you know, in the war, going very, very well, and then at the time, sort of in the 40s, when they really went crazy about killing the Jewish community and sort of eliminating the Jewish community, the war suddenly turned against them, and they couldn't hold it, you know, and the country, you know, as far as the warfare was concerned, was lost. And very often it wasn't anything that the army did wrong. The army did everything right, but it was just supernatural occurrences like a very heavy winter, like some problems here and there, just lots of tiny things, and one or two bad decisions, which led to Germany being routed in the war, and it all turning back on them, and it pretty much fell. You could, when you look at the timeline, it sort of aligned with you know, atrocities, bad atrocities being committed against the Jewish community, and Germany just went down the hill really, really badly and really fast. With hindsight, a good thing. Hitler was very clear that once he had, you know, done that thing, he was going to deal with the Christians, you know, those who could not be instructed a better way, and he would finish them. And that was pretty much known as well. And again, a confirmation that he is the Antichrist. Again, Hitler finished, you know, the Third Reich was over, and then 1946 came, a new period started, and it was all done and dusted. But at the time, people, Christians, who knew their Bible, really thought that's it, you know. This is the end. This is the end. Jesus is going to come back soon, and he will start his millennial reign, and this is, you know, Armageddon is just about to come. A lot of stuff they were reading in the Bible didn't sort of tie up 100%, but they thought, you know, this is so clear, that's it. Okay, I'm going back to this point. Every generation thought that Jesus was coming back. The last generation, you know, my dad's, my granddad's generation, they probably had a good cause of thinking that way because of what they could see and what they could read in the Bible. I believe that Hitler was just a forerunner of the, the forerunner of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist probably will be received in the same manner. Hitler was received as a savior of the German nation. He almost had Messiah status. I mean, people lifting up their hands and calling Heil Hitler, Salvation Hitler. That almost looks like people were recognizing him as some sort of Messiah of the German nation. Not that he was claiming to be Jesus Christ. He never did. But he claimed that he was the, in German, it's the Vorhersehung Gottes. He was the destiny God has given to the German people or something. It's hard to translate this word. But he was the destiny, you know, given to the German people. But a very, very crazy age. Very, very crazy age. Okay. I really wanted to talk about false prophets, and I got hung up on here. Let's have a look at false prophets. Yeah, so I could make an argument that Hitler certainly was a false prophet, but no Christian would fall for him, other than this Pentecostal pastor who wrote some poems. I don't know who this guy was. I just heard the story from some of the older guys, and he was a Pentecostal preacher himself who told us the story, and he gave this as a warning to us. You know, be careful who you endorse. You know, be very, very careful, because this is what happened in the 30s, that some of our own brothers and sisters, they got it so wrong that they endorsed one of the biggest killers of the century, and they started writing poems about the Führer's hands, you know, about his hands. Very, very embarrassing, very embarrassing. You know, what was going on. In contrast, you know, there was a Protestant guy, Lutheran minister, who was a born-again Christian, and he pretty much preached to that extent as well. His name was Wilhelm Busch. I've read a lot of his stuff. But he went as far as being incarcerated, expecting to be put into a concentration camp. They didn't. They let him out. They made him an offer as well, and they said, look, you can teach the old guys as much as you want, but just leave the young guys alone. And if you do this, we're going to give you freedom, we're going to give you some money, and just don't have anything to do with the youth. Leave the youth to the Hitler youth in those days. He didn't go for it. He said the temptation was so great because he was in such turmoil. He was in prison. He heard people in such turmoil, and all he needed to do is just say yes, and he could still be a pastor, he could still be a minister, he could still minister to the old guys. And then there's this temptation of thinking, if I go to the concentration camp, I won't minister to anybody, at least I will minister to some people. But he didn't agree to it. He said, you know, I need to do the will of God, I cannot sign this, I'm not going to agree to this. And he didn't. He was let out anyway, and he carried out with his work amongst the youth. Some of the stories he died in 1966, so there were a lot of recordings from after the war are still around, which I think they had like tape recorders in those days, and so a lot of recordings are still around, so you can still listen to his original voice, and it's quite moving. Some of the stuff he was telling of what life was like under, you know, as a Bible believing Christian. Under the auspices of the Nazis, who were very anti-Christian and who were pretty much determined to destroy Christianity. And so you've got these two things. You get Christian leaders who get it very, very wrong, and you also get Christian leaders who stand up against the pressure that's placed upon them. I remember sort of in one instance that he was preaching in the church, and he knew that the Gestapo was after him and they were about to arrest him. And he also knew how the arrest would take place. They wouldn't do it in public, but they always did it like at night, at, you know, the crack of dawn when they got to somebody's house, and they would knock on the door and then arrest him, and nobody would see this, and suddenly people would just disappear. But he wanted to preach and he wanted to fulfill his calling. And that's what he did. And he, you know, he put a wig on and had like a hat and disguised himself. He could get into the church. Then he started preaching, you know, and then the Gestapo was inside the church. And they wanted to apprehend him just, you know, after he was done and dusted so they could get him. And then he made the church sing a very lively song. And Weitzel were all standing up singing a lively song. He just disappeared, went out. And then he went to a park and he started hiding. He had to wait for his train to get out. But he obviously couldn't be at the train station, so he hid somewhere in a park, sit on a park bench. He couldn't have any other people next to him because it might give his identity away. And he just said that this was one of the loneliest times in his life, where he didn't really know what was going to happen, whether they were going to get him or not, whether he was going to end up in a concentration camp or not. It was a very, very dark time. The story is he did make it to the train station. He got out of the town, and the Gestapo didn't get him. Unfortunately, the communications in those days weren't quite as good, so they couldn't track him down that easy. Very, very scary times. Very scary times. If unfortunately, he has written a book which is called Jesus, Our Destiny. I think it's just a compilation of sermons he did, being compiled not by himself but by somebody else. That's in English, but some of his talks, unfortunately, they're all in German, and it might be worthwhile to translate them one time. So anyway, times are hard, and it's very easy to be deceived and to follow wrong leaders. That's really the point I'm trying to make, and we are talking about false prophets and the end times, and people who thought at various times that the end times were at their fingertips. Now, there's one difference between 2018 and 1933 or 1935 or 1939, and that is that a lot more signs have been fulfilled which were spoken of in the Bible. In 1933, when Hitler came to power, we didn't have the State of Israel, even though there was a big movement of Jews since the late 1800s, 1880, into the Promised Land. There were more and more Jews moving into there. The Brits and the Arabs, they tried to stop this movement. The Jews, they had ways, they had their own little militia to try and secure the entry of people into the Promised Land, into Israel. So there was a lot of stuff going on in that time. But there was no State of Israel. Jerusalem was still part of the you know, the British protectorate. There was no independent state as such. And yet the Bible says, can a nation be born in one day? And all this happened in 1948, where the nation of Israel was born, 1967, where the place where the temple most likely stood, so we've got the city of David, and we've got the Temple Mount, was suddenly in Jewish hands again. And a lot of, you know, other territory became part of Israel, like Samaria and even Sinai and the Golan Heights and a lot of other territories. Some they've given up for peace. Some is still contested, you know, very heavily. So, I mean, that's one of the big signs which we didn't have in Hitler's days, and people didn't really know how to interpret those scriptures. They thought maybe this would never happen. It has happened. It's been prophesied in the Bible. The Bible talks about that when Jesus returns, he will return to his people, the Jews, and he will take up residence in Jerusalem, and he will slay the Antichrist there. So, so a lot of signs which are there now weren't there a generation ago. Okay, I want to sort of go a little bit further with the whole thing about the false prophets, and we're going to, you know, zoom into it a little bit longer in the next talk we have on the end time. There's been a big movement about false prophets. Let me just get you one scripture. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, that's sort of the end time speech, and he refers to it about two times about false prophets, you know, doing great signs and wonders, and deceiving people. And he says he even would, you know, deceive the elect if that were possible. So so there's something going on which again is very, very scary. when you look at the Sermon of the Mount, he talks about false prophets as well, and he says that beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes from thorn bushes and figs from thistles. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by the fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, it's a very, very scary scripture. So we've got people who claim to be prophets. They prophesied in the name of Jesus. They cast out demons. They've done many wonders. When you go to Matthew 24, you get the same thing. Let me just, I've got an online Bible here, so it takes a little bit of time to go there. But you get the same warning about Matthew 24 as well, about these false prophets which come there. Yeah, and we've got them twice. Yeah. In verse 4 in chapter 24 it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars, and so on. And then he says in verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So that's part of the end time speech. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Yeah, so we've got that. And then we've got it again in verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the desert, there or there, do not believe. Sorry. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ or there, do not believe, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. So again, we've got the same thing again. They will do wonders and miracles, and we've seen this in the Sermon on the Mount as well. False prophets, miracles, and wonders. Okay, one problem we've had in Christianity is if something is supernatural, people believe it's from God. And so we've had all sorts of stuff going on and crazy stuff within the charismatic and Pentecostal movement, partly. And I'm not saying this lightly. I did a study some time ago, and what we had is sometimes, you know, practices which are quite common in Hinduism, practices which are quite common in the occult, very similar when you look at what is happening within some of those meetings which have been, you know, been within the spectrum of the charismatic and Pentecostal church and other churches as well. They look very similar. They look very similar. And I mean, we are called in the Bible to test the spirits. John talks about it, to really test the spirits and to be careful, you know, about this stuff. Test prophecy as well. So if somebody prophesies, make sure it ties up with the Bible and it is correct. And my call to you is don't fall for the deception that if something is supernatural, that it is automatically from God because people mention the word God or something. It's not necessarily the case, yeah. So you need to test it. Somebody told me once that he felt God was giving him a message about this whole phenomenon of spirituality and spiritual manifestations in churches, and he felt that God was saying to him, and there are two ways. If it is the Holy Spirit who manifests within a meeting, you know, people get very elevated during the service, and they feel the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. But when they leave the service, this is going to go with them. And the sweet presence of God will be with them throughout the week and just follow them. If it is not the Holy Spirit, but a false spirit, people leave the meeting and they feel empty and void. And they feel rather deflated. And they feel bad. And I'm just going to put this in. A friend of mine, he once said that he's a Pentecostal guy, and And he said that sometimes his mother, you know, she, whenever she came back from certain church services, she was really nasty. She was a woman of God. She loved her Lord. She wanted to do the thing. But there were certain meetings when she came back from, she turned really nasty and she was pretty much undigestible. And that kind of fits in with what may have happened there. There might be some other reasons as well. I don't know the details, but. But again, my friends, what I want to get across, and I say whatever I'm saying is not necessarily the opinion of the BPM radio management, but what you need to do is, you know, whenever you end up in a meeting and you need to throw yourself onto the mercy of God, to really have a spirit of discernment inside of you, to have the gift of discernment, to have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and to call upon Jesus Christ at all times. And not to just accept anything at face value. It's very, very important. And I believe that we are living in a time of great deception, and that deception runs really, really deep. A lot of people don't realize how deep it runs. And then sometimes even where we think our spiritual home is, we get a big deception taking place. And we need to try and discern what is going on. We've got the warning in the Bible. Lots of false prophets will rise up, you know, and they are not Karl Marx and Stalin and Lenin and, what's she called? Ellen G. White from the Adventists. They are false prophets, yeah, but they are not the ones who can give us trouble. You know, they are the ones who try to deceive the elect if that were possible. I believe that we've got another dimension in our lives, which is brought in through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, if we are open to God and we really seek God with all of our hearts, with all of our mind and all of our soul, that God will reveal truth to us. And Jesus says of himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we invite Jesus into our lives, the truth will be with us and we will be able to see the falseness and the deception that is in there. The important thing is we need to go to God to question it and not just to take everything on face value. And, you know, Jesus warned us, and he even says in Matthew 24, you know, when all this stuff happens, see, I've warned you. I told you this is going to happen. False Christ didn't turn up for 1,800 years. Suddenly they are there. People who claim to be Jesus Christ returned. False prophets, they've been with us, you know, since day one. Paul was moaning about them, false apostles, imposters, and people who are there. In Matthew chapter 7, we have got in the Sermon of the Mount a very good way to identify what is going on, and Jesus says, just look at their fruits. If you want to know what the fruits are, the false prophets tell us, you know, this is like how much money they have, how successful they are, how many conversions they have. The Bible tells us, no, that's not the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, gentleness, kindness, you know, all this stuff. And ask yourself a couple of questions, you know, can you see the love of Christ in their lives? Can you see the goodness of God displayed through their lives? Can you see the generosity? Can you see the care, the loving care? Some of these preachers I see today, all I see is arrogance, manifestations of power, conceitedness, lots of other stuff. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, in these last days, you have warned us of false prophets, and a lot of our brothers and sisters, they fall foul, and sometimes, you know, even myself, everybody, we follow our false leaders. We pray, Lord, that you will give us wisdom and discernment to see what is good and what is from you and what isn't from you. I pray, Lord, for those who suffer deception, that you will set us free, that you will give truth into our lives. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.